Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America, and happy Tuesday. A busy Tuesday. Michigan voters going to the polls today. Two dynamics to watch. One, how will Muslim voters, who are a very important part of Joe Biden's winning 2020 coalition, how will they vote this time? They're being told by people like Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib to vote non-committed, not to give their vote to Joe Biden. How large will that non-committed vote be, and what message will it send to Joe Biden that maybe his chances in Michigan in the fall are in jeopardy? There's another dynamic to watch. Blue-collar workers, particularly those who are auto workers, who are becoming acutely aware that Joe Biden's EV mandate is going to eliminate a large number of UAW jobs in the long term. Sure, they got a sweetheart contract now, but the truth of the matter is, according to the CBO and others who have studied it, there's going to be a significant reduction of auto worker jobs in Michigan because EVs have far fewer components. They're not as complicated as a combustion engine. And so the reality is, happy workers today could be unemployed workers in the future. And you just saw the head of Ford say, hey, we're going to think very seriously about where we put car manufacturing plants in the future after what happened with UAW in the negotiations this spring and summer. The third will be, what do young voters do? Young voters motivated a lot by the Israel-Gaza war because they seem to be more sympathetic to the Gazans than they are to the Israelis who were attacked unprovoked on October 7th. They're also unhappy with some of the what they view as backsliding by Joe Biden on climate change. How will they vote? How much, in other words, will Joe Biden's coalition from 2020 be exposed as eroded in the Michigan vote tonight? Now, on the flip side, Donald Trump's going to win easily tonight. But the question is, what happens to Nikki Haley's voters? What happens to the anti-Trump voters? Is there a path for Donald Trump to connect and create a pathway for those people to come over and support him in the fall election? Those are the dynamics we're going to be watching out of the Michigan primary in the next few days. Now, today we're going to focus on the story we focused on yesterday. I do not want Lakin Riley's case to be lost in vain, her memory washed away as just another episode of another person killed by another illegal alien who shouldn't have been in the country. There are so many elements of failure in this story. Yesterday, we focused on the Democratic policy failures because it was the connection between three different liberal policies, catch and release, sanctuary cities, and then the third part, work permits for someone who may have committed a crime and shouldn't have been in the story, but that's what we're doing now for illegal aliens in the country, that led Jose Ibarra to Athens, Georgia, where he allegedly committed this crime. He's charged with the crime. Today, we're going to focus on something else, which is Republicans talk about, oh, we're tough on illegal immigration. We have solutions. We're passing things. And it's true. 15 years ago, Georgia passed laws banning sanctuary cities in its presence. And yet today, there are communities from Atlanta to Athens that practice essentially sanctuary city policies, not recognizing detainers, letting illegal aliens go even if they're caught in a crime. I'm going to have a hard conversation today with several Georgia Republicans. One of them is going to come on the show. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to join us at the top of the hour. But if Republicans say their law does this, why don't they enforce it? And that is a very, very big issue. Tonight on the TV show, Mike Collins is going to come on. We'll get him on the podcast tomorrow. We're going to ask the same question of him, because these are two lawmakers that want Republicans to just stop saying things and not meaning what they say. Republicans should say what they mean and mean what they say. So should Democrats. This is a case on immigration where both Republicans and Democrats have let the American taxpayer, the American citizen down. They let Lake and Riley down. This is a bipartisan crisis of inaction. When the Republicans tried in the Senate a few weeks ago to ram through what they said was a historic immigration bill, that allowed 5,000 people a day. That means there could have been as many as 5,000 Jose Ibarras every day coming in before Senate Republicans saw a crisis. We're going to talk to Senator Ted Cruz later this week about that. And just keep that in mind. Republicans are complicitous. They are folding and bending on winning issues, and they're not enforcing laws that are in front of them often. Now, they're not all the same. Ken Paxton and Governor Abbott down in Texas, obviously holding the line. But the top of the show is going to be talking about the Georgia Republicans, with one of them joining us, Marjorie Taylor Greene. In the second half of the show, we're going to talk to the one and only Dr. Peter McCullough. He is one of the most sage voices during the COVID-19 pandemic. He just had a peer-reviewed study pulled from a journal because it highlighted some concerns about the COVID-19 vaccine. He's going to explain that for us. And also, Peter McCullough's company, The Wellness Company, a big partner with Just the News and John Solomon Reports, the podcast, they've created an extraordinary telemedicine product where you can get in advance needed antibiotics so that when you have an emergency and you can't get to a doctor, or, hey, there's a pharmacy under cyber attack like there was earlier this week, or there's shortages in the supply chain. I went a couple weeks ago to get a common pill I've been taking for years, and like, it's going to take 4 or 5 days. We're just out of supply. We never used to be out of supply. It's one of the most common drugs in America. So you don't have to deal with that anymore. Why? This is really cool. They have created telemedicine in America. The Wellness Company and Peter McCullough will describe how that is beginning to disrupt and improve America's medical system. We're going to have that in the second block of the show. We got a good one for you. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Marjorie Taylor Greene right after these messages. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you, because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000, or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, folks. Welcome back from the commercial break. As you know, I spent a big part of the top of the show talking about Republicans' own complicity in failing to solve the border crisis, whether it was the Senate bill that would have allowed 5,000 illegal aliens a day into the country without considering it a crisis, or whether it's down in Georgia, where they pass a law that says sanctuary cities are illegal and then allow sanctuary cities to exist, at least in practice, as was the case in Athens. I want to go get what I consider one of the Jiminy Cricket consciences of the Republican Party, never afraid to call out her party or the Democrats when on the wrong side of the issue. She knows something about this Georgia case because she lives there. She is Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Congresswoman, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me on, John.
I have watched your tweets the last few days, and you have had some very important and I think profound things to say about Laken Riley's death, that it not be in vain. Every aspect of this case was avoidable. Your takeaways after absorbing everything we've learned in the fact base over the last few days.
Well, first of all, I want to express on behalf of my home state of Georgia how heartbroken and how extremely angry we are here in Georgia that Laken Riley, this beautiful 22-year-old young college student at my alma mater, University of Georgia, was murdered by an illegal alien. Here in the state of Georgia, it's unspeakable. And people have been, I've watched people cry over this. I have talked with her father, John, and her mother, Allison, are beyond devastated as anyone.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
No, you can, none of us can imagine. It's the unbearable, even the thoughts of it are unbearable. But here's the part that is the worst. It's the worst part, as it is every time this happens, because this isn't the first time that this has happened. We can go back to Kate Steinle, and we could revisit every single American murder by an illegal alien, whether it's an actual murder or whether they're killed in a car accident, whether they're killed by an illegal alien drinking and driving or doing drugs, whatever it is, or trafficking illegals across the state border. That killed two of my constituents last year. Every single time it happens, it shouldn't have happened. It was it was avoidable. And, you know, here in Georgia, I've gotten really tired of watching my Georgia Republicans here in our state pointing the finger at the Biden administration, when in the state of Georgia, we have a Republican governor, we have a Republican state legislator, and we have a Republican attorney general. And the fact that they passed a law years ago that we do not have sanctuary cities here in the state of Georgia, but yet at the same time, these same Republicans have turned their head and ignored the fact that Democrat-run cities like Athens and the city of Atlanta do harbor illegal aliens. They choose to not prosecute them. I remember Keisha Lance Bottoms refused to allow ICE to use the jail in the city of Atlanta. And this goes on and on. And I'm going to tell you, John, I am warning my entire state that when Republicans are soft and Republicans are weak, we are going to lose our state to Democrats. And we are very close to doing that, because they won our two Senate seats in 2020, and they are building and building and building. So Republicans have to get tougher in the state of Georgia. You can't cry foul and just point fingers at other people when you're unwilling to use the power you have and stop these things.
Yeah, and just the laws that are on the books. I mean, that's what's so remarkable. Georgia got the law right in 2009, but if it isn't enforced, when you look back, is it the governor's responsibility, the attorney general? Who should be enforcing this to make sure that, because it's not too late, there might be another episode someday in the future where this could be prevented. Where is the pressure got to be applied in Georgia to get the law applied so that these cities don't thumb their nose at it?
Well, I'll say across the board, but one person in particular, our Attorney General, Chris Carr, should be using the law. He is our Attorney General. He is the one that can come and put the pressure on these cities and force it to happen. Also, our state legislature, they can do something about it. And, you know, they've been setting up this review board that is supposed to act like an oversight committee over DAs who are not doing their job. We've got quite a few of them here in the state of Georgia. And I do very much support this oversight committee, but it needs to have teeth. They need to have the ability to remove these DAs from office. These are DAs such as Fannie Willis. These are DAs such as the one in Athens, Clark County. These are DAs that are refusing to prosecute real criminals, but instead they play politics with their positions of power, forcing DEI policies on their employees and, you know, targeting who they perceive as political opponents like Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's a remarkable moment we're living in. The Americans look at this and say, is this really America anymore? I don't recognize it. It's so insane. One quick question. Tomorrow's a big day. Hunter Biden's going to come on in, allegedly, for his transcribed interview. What are you expecting? What do you hope Republicans achieve with it tomorrow?
Well, number one, I sit on the Oversight Committee, and I'll be there for that deposition. So we'll see if Hunter Biden doesn't run away again when I open my mouth to ask him questions.
That's right. He ran off last time, right? That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, he sure did. He got up and ran out the door the minute I started speaking to him. We'll see him at 10 o'clock if he's brave enough to show up. And we have many questions to ask him. So I look forward to that happening. We also have to stand our ground. I'm urging my colleagues once again to not fund the war in Ukraine. Extremely important for us to not fund that war. That country needs peace and it needs to be over with. And then at the end of the week, we've got to deal with government funding. And John, I have to tell you, we should have been funding the government months ago. We have not passed or moved a single appropriation bill since they ousted Kevin McCarthy. And shame on our conference. That's all I've got to say. We should have been doing it.
It's decelerated. The effort to do what you promised actually is decelerated with the change of speakership. It's really mind-boggling to watch. I don't know what to make of it. Congresswoman, I know how busy you are. I just wanted to get your take on these things today. We're so grateful. We'll be looking forward to your questions tomorrow with Hunter Biden. I'm sure they'll make some news out of that. You always are fighting to get us the truth. So we're grateful for that.
Thank you so much, John. I'll keep you updated on what we find out tomorrow.
Thank you so much. Everyone listening is going to be excited to find out. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. Peter McCullough up next after these messages.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. I promised a very special treat today, and we're going to deliver. As you know, Just the News has an incredible partnership with the Wellness Company. Of course, the Wellness Company's driving force is the one and only Dr. Peter McCullough, and he is joining us right now. Doctor, great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Before we jump into some really big news that you broke on your Substack, I think it's one of the most important scientific study retractions I've seen in a long time. Just real quickly, your motivation when you started the Wellness Company, it really is this growing telemedicine world is really changing our own communities. Tell us what drove you to do it.
I have been admittedly a critic of the government response to the pandemic,
yeah,
both on failure to treat patients early and also on the vaccines. But I've also provided solutions, including the first early treatment protocols, detoxification protocols, and now the Wellness Company. The Wellness Company is an alternative source of healthcare. It's a cash-based, very affordable system that people added on, as a resource to their insurance. It's 24/7 telemedicine, health and education materials, the supplements, the leading supplements we use to treat long COVID and post-vaccine injury.
Right.
Syndromes, and the Wellness Company is helping people get better worldwide.
Yeah, and it's so innovative. And folks, if you haven't checked it out, if you haven't gone and actually seen the membership options, you are missing out on a great opportunity. And perhaps its most important asset, the medical emergency kit, 5 medicines and a prescription specifically if you actually talk to a real doctor before you get any of this medicine. It's really great. Doctor, I want to turn, you have a very powerful Substack. I think one of the most important voices on Substack these days. And there is this study that came out that made some pretty clear confirmations of safety issues around COVID-19, the vaccines. And then all of a sudden, the journal just retracted it. Why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, I was an editor for over 20 years, 2 major journals. I never retracted a paper, never, as an editor, because the peer review process is a fair process that culminates in a publication acceptance, contract, and copywriting. So we'd never retract a paper unless it violated what's called the COPE guidelines, which deal with research integrity, plagiarism, basically criminal activities. For a paper to get retracted, it has to violate one of these very serious core principles. What we've seen through COVID, and this is the third time it's happened to me, is papers being retracted for no reason, for fundamentally no reason. And we're suspicious that Senator Ron Johnson called yesterday in his session the COVID cartel, this vaccine syndicate, is putting pressure on publishers and editors to essentially censor the medical literature like social media is being censored.
Yeah, it's remarkable. So what specifically did this study, and it was peer-reviewed if I understand it, what did this study ultimately conclude?
Well, here's the context. So the first author is Nathaniel Mead. He's a former NIH staff member, and he's an epidemiologist. I'm the senior author as an MD and an epidemiologist. And this comprehensively reviewed the entire clinical trials program for the messenger RNA vaccines, 293 references. It had numerous peer reviewers. It addressed hundreds and hundreds of comments through this 3-month, very arduous peer review process. So the final product is fully accepted by the journal. The editors sign off on this. Everyone signs off. It's copyrighted. It's contracted, published. It gets on the platform. It got record views, reads, and downloads. This is astonishing. The average paper on the platform gets 2,700 views and reads and downloads in a year. We got 330,000 in a month. And there's a rating scale from 1 to 10 that the readers can rate it. Ours was rated at 9.3, which is considered outstanding or groundbreaking, according to their scale. And so what happens? We think some external forces, probably Big Pharma, puts pressure on Springer Nature, the group. They call in a junior publication integrity author, Turges, and then essentially he brings up 8 points that we've already handled in the review process regarding the various references and inferences that we make. And we put together a multi-page, very thorough rebuttal saying we've already handled this. And then once we submitted our rebuttal, within minutes to an hour, he says it's retracted. So here we go again. Now what happens is this paper gets even more press. Why are they trying to censor it? It's just like a social media video that gets censored. Everybody wants to see it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's the funny thing is that their effort to silence it actually creates the intrigue for more and more people to explore what's going on. But I think the you've talked about this on our TV show, and we've talked about it before. It is a moment now where Americans are so confused by the medical establishment that they're starting not to trust even their local doctor because they associate it with all of this insanity. There is a real reckoning at this moment where people may not follow the future public health recommendations because there's so much distrust. How do we begin to reverse that dynamic? Because it's a very dangerous dynamic long term.
We're starting to see it right now.
Yeah, it's happening.
The recent measles outbreak in Florida.
Right.
And, where public health has standard recommendations, now the Surgeon General says, wait a minute, that's not, completely reasonable. And, the CDC is not used to this. They're not used to people questioning their authority, but now people are. because of the COVID-19 debacle. I think patients need to have some honest conversations with their doctors. I think it's really good to ask where they stand on the vaccines now. An honest answer could be, listen, I didn't take the vaccine. I didn't think it was safe. I never recommended it. Or I took the vaccine, but now I understand it's not safe. There's calls for it to be removed.
Right.
But if doctors are still in this narrative saying, listen here, take your 10th shot,
yeah,
people should be questioning this.
And it really does start with your personal relationship with your doctor. And I think that's some really great advice. I know people want to fix the larger monstrosity of bureaucratic science, but it really, for a person, it's really getting right with your doctor and making sure you and your doctor are on the same page, right?
Yeah, for sure. And you know, at this point in time, the doctors who did support the vaccination, it's going to be tough, but they have to admit they made a mistake. Recently, we saw Dr. Annette Bosworth on the internet come out and say, listen, her fans have been telling her for 2 years, listen, these vaccines are causing side effects. She finally capitulates. She said, listen, I had all my kids vaccinated, everybody close to me vaccinated, and I made a mistake. She's honest. We need to see a lot more honesty.
Yeah, boy, that goes a long way in just creating credibility to have the sort of conversations we're going to have down the road, because these larger agencies, the CDC, the FDA, some of the state health societies and licensing boards, they're a much larger, longer project to try to get confidence back in. Do you see any beyond, you mentioned the Ron Johnson hearing yesterday. That was a really dramatic moment. He's done several of these. I think one of the most important voices in just challenging a narrative that now is eroding. What are some of the fixes that you're watching right now that you think have larger institutional change opportunity?
Well, a big one is going to be Missouri versus Biden. It's technically called McMurthy versus Biden now, but that's the big social media censorship Supreme Court case. Where, listen to this. Do you know there's two physician groups that are on the side of freedom of speech? Association of American Physicians and Surgeons and American Frontline Doctors. Do you know there are doctor organizations that are on the side of censorship?
It's remarkable.
Yeah, the AMA, American College of Physicians, many others. So believe it or not, the doctor groups are on either side of this argument. And boy, we need a Supreme Court decision, I hope, supporting freedom of speech.
Yeah, this is the free speech, I think, case of our generation. And what we've learned about the basis for a lot of these censorship decisions and pressures that were applied to social media, it really, when you look at it now and the body of evidence that's now in the marketplace, whether it's about where the virus originated from or what could be made as promises about the vaccine that turned out to be really false promises, the case looks even worse now. I think the censorship looks even worse now, 2 and 3 years later, with the body of evidence. Are there enough reflective members of the medical profession to create the sort of change and getting right with the American public? Or are too many people still dug into the original narrative just because it's about pride and camaraderie and perhaps dollars at stake from Big Pharma?
Too many dug in right now. And I can tell you that the day the chief of medicine comes out from Mayo Clinic or Harvard or Duke, one of our marquee institutions, and said, listen, the vaccines were a mistake, that'll be an important day in medicine. Right now, academia is not cracking. Do you know Harvard University is still mandating the vaccines on the students, where virtually every other university is pulled out?
It's remarkable. Yeah. That's an institution with lots of ailments, including anti-Semitism and other as well. But wow, really remarkable. When you look at the work you've done, and you've probably done the most compelling work in exposing just the raw data about what we know about the COVID-19 vaccine, what are the top lines now that are no longer in doubt?
We are at about 17 million people who've died after the vaccine worldwide. Dennis Rancourt from Montreal have shown this. The autopsy paper I've led shows that about 73.9% of the deaths are directly due to the vaccine. We have a couple thousand Americans who have died either on the same day they took it or the day afterwards, according to the CDC. These numbers are too high. None of our presidential candidates, Democrat or Republican, have even come to realize this yet and reconcile it. I mean, this is the biggest American story of all time, and they're talking about other things. You know, our presidential candidates and our senators, you know, I was invited to the Senate yesterday. I couldn't go because of patient duties. But I was going to ask, you know, Johnson always asks, where are the doctors? I was going to ask him, where are the senators?
Yeah, that's a good question, too. He's an outlier, even in his own institution. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There's a lack of political will right now. And it's so remarkable to see the PAC mentality continue. We're now 3 or 4 years. We're out of the crisis. People have calmed their emotions. And yet the PAC has stuck together, even though the facts, the evidence is still overwhelming that these vaccines have not had, first, the promised efficacy that we were told, promised benefit, and then, of course, the side effects. There are things like the Barrington Declaration that then moved into a second project to try to get new standards for the next pandemic, because we really aren't one step better to addressing the next pandemic than we were going into this pandemic. Is there anything you see helpful right now where people are looking at and say, all right, we're still going to fight over COVID. We're going to get this right over time, but we got to start changing the mentality for the next pandemic so that we're focused not just on vaccines, but on daily treatments and regimens that could have saved a lot of lives in COVID-19.
Yeah, almost every state is having lessons learned types of Senate hearings. I'm on a standing committee for Arizona where, you know, we bring up topics like the states ought to know where gain of function research is being done in their state, because, you know, there is no ban on gain of function research. It's just a suspension of federal funding, but private funding goes on. Every state should be looking at their early treatment response in case there is a next pandemic. We should have a consumer product safety people involved on any type of product safety, whether it's remdesivir or the vaccine. Anytime there's a novel crisis, we're not going to get everything right. And the government, from the very beginning, thinking that every single thing they did was right, was obviously a giant miscalculation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the mentality that starts that process. We're the government, we can't be wrong, and that's not how science and medicine works, right? Medicine's never perfect at the start of a crisis. It's an applied science. Do you see more people going back and beginning to talk about the basics of science, which is debate is important? We squelch debate. More testing before we deploy to masses, much more important than we gave during the COVID-19 era. Are there enough voices starting to go back to the basics, the singles and doubles of hitting in science right now?
We're actually seeing a sweep the other way. We're actually seeing propaganda come into medicine. I've never thought I'd see this. But, you know, there's six propaganda terms that are creeping into medicine, and they are misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, anti-vaxxer, anti-science, and conspiracy theorist. Believe it or not, these are in the medical literature. These are coming. This comes out of the Third Reich of the propaganda office in Nazi Germany. These are propaganda terms creeping into medicine. No doctor should ever use these terms. We should always be discussing the data and issues at hand and not using these power dynamic pejorative terms.
Yeah, it's remarkable. None of them have anything to do with science. And yet they're, you're right. You see in public speeches and public settings and presentations, those words are actually ramping up even more than I saw in 21-22 when the first censorship regime was coming down. We had just the news had quite a bit of censorship for things that we now know were 100% true. We knew then they were true, but they've been proven true. And the reaction to this of the fact that the original censorship things were wrong, they've just doubled down on censorship. They're actually increasing the routine. What are the key antidotes to this mindset? Because it does seem to be so pervasive.
We have to have discussion. We have to get back to roundtable discussions, grand rounds. We have to have, you know, summits on vaccine safety, have all the players there. The state legislatures have to get the hospital CEOs to the table and discuss lessons learned. What did we do wrong? You know, no hospital has emerged in the United States and said they're a center of excellence for COVID. No hospital claims to be any good at treating COVID, yet it was a leading diagnosis for 2020 and 2021. This is astonishing. They all want to be great at heart disease, great at cancer, but with COVID, none of them had really any innovation. We never saw the Harvard protocol or the Mayo protocol. There was no bravado when it came to COVID. And I tell you, the medical orthodoxy left Americans high and dry during COVID should never happen again.
Yeah, that's very, it's such an important goal to achieve. And yet it seems for so many people today to be unachievable that the mindset is just so rigidly against it. As you look out now, I think a lot of people worried what, you know, we've seen some runs of viruses, more common viruses. I know a norovirus running around the Northeast recently. But what are the prospects that we could have a health crisis in 2024 that we're not prepared for?
We're being told disease X is coming. Remember, we were told that COVID was coming.
That's right. Yeah.
None of us listened. Fauci said it. Everyone said it. Peter Daszak, him and Fauci, Ralph Baric, Xingling Li, they're kind of the creators of SARS-CoV-2. They're telling us that, you know, disease X is coming. It's probably going to come out of a biolab. It's probably going to be a respiratory virus. Peter Daszak, who's got fresh funding from the National Institute of Health, is trying to create more infectious and deadly coronaviruses. Now he's working over in Singapore with Duke University. So I think we should be ready for another respiratory illness. Wellness companies got a great step up with the home kits. We believe we can cover most of the pathogens, certainly cover secondary bronchitis and pneumonias. Early treatment is always the way with pandemics, not vaccines.
Yeah, that's always been the lesson. And it was always the playbook until this one. It's what's so remarkable about the change. The playbook was just not followed here. In the medical emergency kit, you get ivermectin, Z-Pak, amoxicillin. What else comes along with it?
Well, we have coverage for critical bronchitic infections, use of doxycycline. We could handle an anthrax outbreak if it happens. Anthrax is a bacteria, but also handle simple things like bladder infections, yeast infections. And we think the sophistication of the public is at the point where they can self-diagnose with some help from a guidebook and telemedicine if needed.
Yeah, that's really the innovative moment that the wellness companies started in this country. This is really a revolution, and it's built on common sense. And I've seen just in the last year a move towards telemedicine, even in just general practices. And some of these corporate practices, they're all moving to it. And you know what? We're actually treated better. We get treated quicker, and we don't have to go through the bureaucracy. I think you've started something that is going to have a long leg to it. When you look at 5 years from now, will telemedicine be the predominant delivery system for moderate and easy to treat illness, you think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more and more prevalent. There's home diagnostic services. You know, people can get a blood draw at home or even an x-ray or ultrasound or using portable. I'm office-based, but, you know, I use a sophisticated ultrasound probe. But I use a laptop, a iPad.
Like you're
an
kidding.
iPad actually is the integrative device.
It's your brain center, right?
Yeah. It's going to become more and more lightweight. We're using a lot more genetics, which is a simple swab done in the mouth. It's very affordable, helps us risk stratify patients. I think we're going to see much more individualized medicine. So it's not going to be one size fits all. And the diagnostics and that just-in-time availability helps. Telemedicine cuts down costs dramatically. So I think it's a win for everybody.
It is. And it's speedier for the patient. I did a telemedicine visit not that long ago, and it made my life easier when I didn't feel well. It was perfect. And there's one other thing that I wanted to point out, because you are beyond your great medical and science credentials and your record of achievement, you also are a very charitable person. One of the things that the wellness company created is the Wellness Initiative. Tell us a little bit about that and what it's doing to help underprivileged communities.
Yeah, Wellness Initiative is trying to, again, provide when there's a need. For instance, they were there with a chemical spill in Ohio. There's been these crises that come up, and there's needs for testing, there's needs for clean water. Wellness company has a philanthropic vein to the people at the wellness company, the founder and CEO, Foster Colson. And, you know, his father founded Colson Aviation, one of the top, aviation companies in Canada. And it's really a good feeling to help people out. And the wellness company is there for them.
Yeah, it's a really remarkable project. And like I said, it's a disruptor, but in a positive way. It's forcing people to change conventions, adapt to the times in telemedicine. And what the wellness company has created is on the cutting edge of that. Dr. McCullough, it is always an honor to have you on the show. Always come out a lot smarter than when I came in. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Folks, if you want to go check out the Wellness Company, we've got some special offers. We're going to get those to you at the end of the show, so if they're fresh in your mind. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. Hey, I want to give a shout out. This is such an important product and group. Alliance Defending Freedom. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. You see it every day. Attacks on faith, on religion, on people of faith. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together, right? That's what we've learned over the years. Thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending rights for more than 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override their law and to force doctors to perform abortions. Now, they need your help. With your best gift, you can courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend the cherished freedoms I know you hold dear to your heart. Go join ADF.org/John. That's ADF.org/John to give now. With your help, we can raise $5,000 by the end of March for ADF. So join ADF.org/John to make your best gift right now. I know with your help, they and you can beat the goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, that wraps up today's show. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.